Hey, how's there? Welcome back. I hope you're all having a great week. And you know why you're having a great week? Because my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yeah, you guys are listening to the Carolyn Joe Show! How's it going, Carolyn? How's it going, Carolyn?
You have a sound effects,
Joe. We have the top-notch show. We're the most dangerous podcast in all of the capital city area.
And beyond.
I'm a filmmaker. My name is Joe Carabeo. Across the studio from me is Karen Bolesky, the greatest comic strip cartoonist known to man. And we have another. We're bringing the hits. We're bringing the hits to you, as usual. Awesome Con may be several weeks past, but it is still very present in our minds this week. Because what do we have for them this week, Carolyn?
This week, you can enjoy the audio recording of the live Carolyn and Joe show that took place at Awesome Con 2014, and it features three guests from The Walking Dead. It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty fantastic, because last year at Awesome Con, we had one guest, that an amazing podcast guest of Theo Crane, which you can follow him on Facebook, find him there. Amazing, very fun. So we were like, how can we top this? Not one, not two, but three. It was a rumor, and we made that rumor reality. We had three Walking Dead guests, all of them on the show, all of them pretty amazing. And I wasn't really sure, because I'm not, let's be honest, Carolyn. I'm not really up to date on the Walking Dead, like in this current present season. So
I think that's fine, because like, you are a host of many things.
That's true.
You even hosted the wrestling panel.
That's true.
At Awesome Con,
which is coming
up. So I feel like, you know, you can manipulate your ways into navigating the conversation, even though you have not seen every single second of The Walking Dead.
That's true, but I do. I've seen these guys, but you know, when we try to talk to these gentlemen, we're all about getting to the heart of the matter. We're all about getting to know the person, getting to know the actor. Actor! Like I've said, you'll hear me say that many times on the live podcast. In front of a great audience, too, by the way. There was actually really great people were asking questions. It was all about, you know, again, it's our podcast, it's our show, but at the same time, it's all about those guys.
Yeah, because they were there about, for The Walking Dead. They weren't. I don't know if they were necessarily there to see us.
Yeah,
you know?
We're just a special attraction. You know what I mean? But you know, Travis Love, Mr. May, and Vincent Ward. I mean, all those guys, Walking Dead graduates, so to speak. You know what I mean? And
death graduates.
Yes, the death graduates. And I feel like people had a great time. We had a great time. I felt like they had a great time. I mean, I didn't know, it's a live atmosphere, so you never actually know what's going to happen. But I do know what's going to happen in 3, 2, 1. It's the Carolyn's News.
Yeah, our news segment. So, this coming Saturday is May 10th, and guess what? We will be at ANS, Sci-Fi, and Comic-Con in La Plata, Maryland. Yes, we will be there. And then the following Saturday, May 17th, we will be at Gaithersburg Book Festival in Gaithersburg, Maryland. That's exciting. I've never been to that before, so we will see what that's all about. I heard that there's going to be like a ton of authors there, so that's pretty amazing.
A ton.
You have people like creating their own books.
A thousand pounds
of books. So that's on May 17th. And then on May 31st, we're having Cartoonist Draw Blood. This is a blood drive that I helped organize, and it's from 10 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. at Seekers Church. This is right near the Tacoma Metro in Washington, D.C.
I love it because the only way to make this blood drive a success is for people to give blood.
Yes.
And also
you get rewarded. You donate blood to the American Red Cross, and you get to meet and get a free sketch by local cartoonists, and they're all pretty amazing and talented people we have gathered for this.
It's great, because I bet like 1,000 other people in different states and countries are going to start stealing this idea that you created. Cartoonist Draw Blood started from Karen Bolesky's mind and is now probably going to spawn across America, spawn across the nation. people are going to be giving blood and getting drawings for them while they wait.
Yeah. Because
it's better than cookies. It's better than chips. It's better than, I don't know what else they, it's, I don't know. Remember that one episode of Wonder Years when Kevin was like really afraid to draw, to get blood drawn? This is not the chance, because now you can look forward to getting your blood drawn, because you get fucking free art, man.
And also, I personally got my blood drawn last time we did this, and it didn't hurt at all, and I wasn't weak, but I also took good care of myself leading up to it. I drank a lot of fluids and I had a meal, so you know, gotta take good care of yourself if you're gonna give blood that day. So I feel like, you know, it's not as bad as you might think, and I overcame my fear, because I actually was kind of scared, but I overcame it. And if you want to donate blood, you can email cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com. donate your blood May 31st, Cartoonist Draw Blood. You can find more information at curls-studio.com about any of these events. So that's all the May events. Then in September, just, you know, jump ahead a few months, September 5th and 6th and 7th, three-day show, we will be at Baltimore Comic Con. And then that following weekend, September 13th and 14th, we are at Small Press Expo. And of course, the big one, New York Comic Con, October 9th through 12th. It's a pretty amazing four-day show. So we have our fall packed in. We have our May, of course, packed in. Almost every weekend we're doing something in May. And we were just at Free Comic Book Day last weekend as well. So you can check out the blog for a whole bunch of photos and a recap for that. Again, that's at curls-studio.com.
We had a blast.
All of our information.
I had a blast meeting all you people at Free Comic Book Day. It was really cool.
Yeah, we did really well. I mean, we only had like a 2-hour signing that was at Big Planet Comics in Vienna. And I thought like we did have a steady flow of people and lots of people checking out my webcomic Curls. I really enjoyed that day because you get to meet like the truly local people that are surrounding you at your local comic book store. And it's pretty amazing because so many people were really into like, they're like, wow, you make comics. So I feel like a lot of people didn't realize that there's a face behind all the comics that they see.
And there is a face. Sometimes there's more than one. Sometimes there's 10 faces behind the making of a comic.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like people don't think about that as much. But yeah, it's really... Because I admit, when I was younger, I never thought about it. And then I was older and I was like actually looking at the bylines and credits and stuff. And I was like, what? Amanda Connor worked on like some of my favorite books in fourth grade? That's pretty amazing. So yeah, it all comes full circle. Full circle. That's what we're all about at the Carolyn Joe Show. And so check out our upcoming podcast that we're going to present to you right now. It's Awesome Con 2014.
That's right. It's the Carolyn and Joe Show. Back from the dead. Speaking with the return of Travis Love, Vincent Ward, and Daniel Thomas May live from Awesome Con. You hear it from here. Exclusive from the Carolyn and Joe Show.
Exclusive.
That's us. The Carolyn and Joe Show live from Awesome Con. And we'll see you after the show. Oh, we'll hear from you after the show, but have a good time. We'll catch you later. Right, Carolyn?
We might be seeing you.
See you guys after the show. We'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there. We'll be there.
Hey, everybody. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you guys are back listening and watching the Carolyn and Joe Show. Thank you, everybody. Yes.
Thanks for coming.
I was a little worried about that clap there. I just sort of nodded a little bit. What were you saying?
I said, thanks for coming to AwesomeCon 2014.
And just so you know, we are recording this, so if you guys have a question and if you make some noise, we will hear you. And we broadcast it all over the whole entire universe.
All over the internet, and your voice will be heard.
Exactly. So, we have three Walking Dead guests here this afternoon, tonight, whatever, today. No clap at that. I don't know how to feel this audience, but let's see. I want to start this the right way. Specifically, since you already saw sort of a bit of him as he walked in. The first guy we're going to introduce is Daniel Thomas May.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
We'll get to the next introduction.
That's right. This man, I guess they're all men, but I specifically like, not just like, but I love this guy's hairstyle, Mr. Travis Love! has an amazing haircut, Mr. Vincent Ward. How you guys doing here?
Doing well.
Great. Doing good. This is my first time in D.C., by the way, so I'm having an awesome time. Beautiful city, beautiful crowd. Thank y'all for having us.
Washington Bullets. Where about them Bullets?
So, just so you guys know, you guys are allowed to, at any point of the show, to ask anybody here, even me, even Carolyn, even Vincent, even Travis, even Daniel, any question that comes to your mind. Do not be afraid. But first, how you guys doing? You doing all right?
Doing great.
Good, man.
Doing great.
AwesomeCon is awesome.
AwesomeCon is, in fact, awesome. Have you said hi to Carolyn?
Hello, Carolyn.
Dude, I got a high five.
Start the handshake right there. Well, Travis, I've met you before. Was it Southern Maryland Comic Con or Annapolis Comic Con?
It was Annapolis.
Annapolis Comic Con. Because I know like Ben has already known you and been booking you for shows.
Right.
So this is your first time in D.C.?
First time in D.C. Like I said, and I'm told I picked a great time to come as far as the weather is concerned. Because you guys have been having some snow and things here lately.
Yeah.
But I got in on Thursday. The weather was awesome. So.
So what did you check out, like, on your own time?
Oh, yeah. I check out. You said, what did I check out? Yeah. I went to the Forge Theater the other night. Saw the Abraham Lincoln Historical Site and everything. And I plan to do some more sightseeing this weekend as I get a chance to.
Sweet. And it's cherry blossom time, too. It's like, from what I hear, it is the best, like, tourist season in D.C.
I heard that.
Good timing for you all. Have you all been to D.C. before previously? Wow.
I have, yes.
Well, see. Yeah. Now, when did you go last time?
Let's see. It's been years, actually. Okay. Yeah, it's been years.
So this is like a special occasion for you. It's almost like a mini vacation.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's nice. Mm-hmm. Anything you planning on checking out?
Given the time, I'm not sure. We're kind of wrapped up here. We got to go see Fords yesterday, and that was great. There's so many. It's hard to take your pick. That's the thing about D.C. You can walk half a block and run into another amazing museum. So,
I'm checking out all the beautiful honeys here in D.C.
There you go. Priorities.
I like the way you say, David.
I have to say, there are a lot of hot girls at AwesomeCon. A lot of like really good cosplay.
AwesomeCon is awesome.
I love the direction of the show already. It's like, you go from monuments to honeys. So I want to know about this. Have you three? Because you've been on the show. Did you know each other before the show, or do you hang out after the show now?
I mean, from my own experience, once you become a part of the show through cast or crew, you tend to stay in touch because everybody's like a big family. You know what I mean? I didn't know any of these guys prior to it, but since being on the show, we've been in touch. We've been on the convention circuit together, so it's good to see everybody getting all together again.
Yeah, with me, I agree with Big T, but in the same breath, if I'm reaching out to you, then I want you to reach out to me, too. Let's keep it 100 over here. You know, me and Travis, we talk. I talk to my man Lou Temple, a.k.a. Axel, and speak with Irony. You call him T-Dog.
Right.
So that's the ones that I really speak to. But, you know, we all, like you said, we all cool. Conventions, we holler at each other. But off the convention circuit, those are probably the three people I talk to the most.
Nice.
Right. Yeah.
So I've always wondered about this. So when's the band going to happen? Are you just going to collect all the people that have deceased in the show and just be like, listen, I think we have a connection here. We've all been through the same trauma.
Right.
We've all made it. So this leads to my question. Does anyone have, not including you and yourself, but who is your favorite death so far?
Favorite death on the show?
Favorite death, yes.
You know what? For me, there's no such thing as a favorite death because once you watch the characters, I mean, the show does such a good job of bringing you in and the audience gets attached to a character. So anytime that character has to go away, I mean, I know that's hard for that audience who love that character. So for me, there is no favorite death scene. In a perfect world, all the characters would still be on there doing their thing, you know what I mean? But that's a testament, though, to the special effects crew, Nicotero and his team. They do an excellent job. You know, when you see those gruesome scenes and the heads flying off and things like that, it's excellent work by them. But for me, there is no favorite death scene. I wish all my homies could be here, man. You know?
and plus, when you're dead, you're not working anymore. So you always want to see people working.
Right.
You know. So
I love the way that they did. See, I'm going to buck the trend here. I loved Lou's death. I thought Axel going out was one of the more shocking because it was just so out of the blue. Out of the blue. It was great. And a lot of the deaths, they do such a great job of kind of building up the sense of dread and, oh, no, he's going to go. He's going to get bit, you know, something like that. But Axel just, bam, went out. Yeah. And also love that, too, because I found out, Lou and I are friends, and we stay in touch, and he's a great guy, and he admitted to me fairly recently, actually. It took a while for him to reveal this to me, but I learned that in surrounding the discussion surrounding his death, the death of his character on the show, he tried to throw Alan under the bus. He tried to, like, he was going to the producers and they're talking to the writers.
He told me that too.
Yeah, and he was saying, he's like, what about this Alan guy?
Right, he said, get rid of him, leave me.
It's not time for Axel to go. Like, he tried to get me killed. So, I love Lou.
You know what's funny, if that scenario continued, what if they, like, you're like, hey, you have great ideas. You want to be a writer?
Exactly right.
No, never mind.
So what about you guys out there? Any questions out here in the audience? I know y'all didn't come here to hear us run our mouth.
Hi, Ronald Young.
How you doing?
Alexandria, Virginia. Big time fan. I have a question. There was a little period of time, and we were actually just discussing it with ourselves here, in which two black male characters would not stay alive at the same time. And I don't know, was that truly intentional, or was that a wink to the audience, or what was that all about?
Hey, don't.
You're one of the victims.
Hey, don't ask me, because that's probably why I wasn't on The Talking Dead, so. you might want to answer that. No, let him answer. I've heard that a million times, and I never really thought about it until I started hearing it from you guys. So I guess they figure, okay, well, we keep hearing that. Let's keep Tyrese and Bob on at the same time. You know, but it's a little strange, you know. The episode when T-Dog had most of his lines throughout 3.5 seasons, he died. And then I came, and then I was there for a little bit. And this is the truth. A guy told me the episode when they introduced Tyrese, when he was running through the woods or whatnot, he told me when he saw Tyrese, he knew I was going to die that episode. And that's the truth. And I mean, it's the truth. It's funny, but in the same breath, it's sad. You know, because it's like, never mind.
Well, I will say
I'm
this.
You're going to get in trouble.
They ain't actually show Shumper get killed, so, you know, jury's still out. You know what I mean? As far as that guy went, here's what I'm going to tell you about this guy. All right, now you got your Merle. You got Merle for season one. Get his hand chopped off, right? He's gone. Then he come back, sword in his arm and all kinds of stuff. We got this guy Shumpert. All right, this guy is talented. This guy can shoot a longbow, multiple artillery. He's used throughout the show. You know what I mean? 50 cals. Come on, 50 cals, ARs, all this kind of stuff. And they say he's gone. I don't buy it. That's me personally. I can't speak for anyone else. You know, I'm not a writer. I'm just saying, if you're going to kill, you going to tell me a fella like that is dead, show me some DNA or something. Until then.
Hell, I got shot by hallucination.
Right? But that's what I'm saying. But you got shot. You know what I mean? You got, everybody got something.
Right, right.
That fella ain't getting nothing, no love. I feel like he might be out there in the desert, you know what I mean? Not in the desert, in the woods, on some old Rambo-type stuff, you know what I mean? In the mud, just chilling, just lurking. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but, I mean, to your question, yeah, we've definitely heard that a lot. And, you know, we're the actors. You might want to ask the producers and the writers about it.
That's right, make enough noise. Right.
You know,
I think Shepard's out there.
Vincent, you did get to feature in one of the funnier memes surrounding that issue, though. Did you see that one? It was hilarious. The one where they had just had the little panels, and they had a little shot of Irony and meeting you. So it was like one shot of Irony, and it was like, you know, sup, and then you saying, oh, shit. And then it kept on going through, and then it showed, you know, and you, like, you were in the clear, and then shows Chad coming in, Tyrese, and Tyrese just says, sup.
I have seen T-Dog, then they call me T-Dog 2.0, and then Chad come, but I don't know. Somebody need to do something about it.
So I have a question. Going a little dark with this now, because I know like this is all produced and Hollywood up, but I guess Atlanta is where you're filming out of, so, you know. Now, let's say, you know, let's go real dark. When you die, do you feel like you're going to be more comfortable having already been dead just through your experiences acting? I mean,
real dark.
You're going to be more comfortable at,
like when you,
like when the moment you're, when the moment happens.
Oh hell no! I can't speak for anybody else, but in no way, shape, or fashion do I think any of what I've portrayed or not portrayed in Shumper's case, in acting as far as death, could prepare me personally for the real deal. A number of things would go into play on that day, which obviously, if we're on the dark side here, we all will face someday. But I hope that, you know, at that point, my life has been one where I'm at peace and ready to go. But like I said, in acting, nah, that don't prepare you. They tell you, okay, your head's going to get blown off, you're going to lay here. Nah, that don't relate to the real thing for me personally.
Yeah. And for me, I don't never want to think about death. But I always say, after I give my Oscar speech,
there you go. Uh-huh.
I can die right there on stage.
There you go.
Good answer.
So you're saying, have you guys seen the movie This Is the End? That one with
Yeah.
Oh man, that scene, Craig Robinson in that movie when he was talking about the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Who's gonna go and save him? He's like, we're actors, man. We're soft. So you're saying
it's
true?
Well, I think it's not something to really prepare you for that, because in part, I feel, for myself, if I'm doing my job, then I'm not in any way as an actor anticipating my death. Particularly on the Walking Dead. You know, like, it's not something that you can get yourself into the right mindset. Mm-hmm. Oh, I have to die today, because that's the thing about it, particularly on this show, is it's never expected. So,
and with mine, I ain't gonna lie, I cried today. That happened on a Tuesday. They's like, well, you know, today is a day. I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I had to come back to work Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So I was like, man, look, y'all ain't shot me. I'm dead. I'm going home. Bye. Yeah.
Like a real fireman. You're like, right. You're going to work now? Yeah. when you knew you were going to die, I'm assuming, how much time did you really have to find out?
To process the information.
I actually read mine.
Okay.
But I can sit here and say it was my fault. I was sitting in, little baby. She saw it too. I was sitting in makeup and I saw a script right there. And the first thing you do is you look for your name. So I'm looking. I get to the very last page and it says Oscar dies. And I'm like, Oscar dies? You know, what happened to the phone call? You know, that type of stuff.
Like,
and
could you write that in a longer sentence?
And I promise you, it wasn't a minute and a half later when Andy, Rick, walks in. He said, Vince, I heard about you weren't going to be around anymore. I said, well, I just read it right now. He said, wait a minute. You just read it. I was like, yeah, I just read it. He said, I'll be back. He went. And before I knew it, all kind of producers were coming in there apologizing for not telling me. And that's why I have the utmost respect for that man, because everybody loves Norman or Daryl, but Rick, Andy runs the show. And he's probably the best leader that you would want to have on the show, because there's no ego, no nothing. He's definitely a team player, so much love to him.
But she got them spooky ass questions and she's
not. It's like, my brain, I can't defend it, but it's just like really twisted, because I love cute stuff. I love My Little Pony, all that stuff. But then, like, when it comes to like cartoonish, ghoulish death, I'm like, I can handle that. I can handle like.
The X's
are in the eyes. Yeah, like X on the I. I'm all about that. But like, really realistic gore stuff, I don't know if I can handle it as much, but if it's cartoony, then I'm okay with it. So it's, but then as far as like talking about real death, I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'm a gore hound. Yeah, I love horror films.
Nice. Oh, we got a question.
Hi, my name's Caleb, and I was
actor and favorite character. So, but not the same? They can't be the same?
They can, but the actor off the show, like,
who you it's like a person
in, like,
To a person, every single person on that show is amazing. It's hard to make a decision like that, you know, to like pick out favorites. But just in the spirit of answering your question, I will say favorite character right now is Carol. Absolutely. Love Melissa McBride, too, as a person. But to pick like a favorite actor, somebody who I've had one of those people that I've had an ongoing relationship with and really found that I got along well with is Jose Cantillo.
I like Joe, too. I spent a lot of time with that guy, T-Love. He's a great guy. And there's this character he plays in this TV show called Shumpert the Bowman. I love that character. And I mean, that's just me. You know, I can't speak for anybody else. But he's, like I said, he's an awesome guy. I spent a lot of time with him. You know, known him for all of my life. So if someone were to ask me who's my favorite character, I would definitely have to say T-Love and the character Shumpert the Bowman is just awesome. So
I would have to say Herschel and Rick. And the reason I'm saying Rick is because the emotions he has to show in some of the scenes when he's crying or when he's flipping out. And Herschel, just because of the respect and the time he's been in the acting industry, you know, and I remember one specific time I kept messing up on this one line over and over and over. And I was beating myself up about it. And he pulled me to the side and said, look, we've all done it. Just do it. And Lou Temple. Lou is totally opposite of Axel. I mean, he talks like that in real life, but... But I mean, I always looked at those three because those are three that really and truly brought out emotions and acting, you know. So, and myself.
That's a good man. That's a good man. Right.
Take my investment then. So, I'm always wondering about. I'm always like, there's one thing. Favorite weapon? If you could create the favorite zombie destroying weapon, what would it be? Could be anything. A spoon. Could be.
Are we talking like Dead Rising style? Like, you know, bit some kind of like construct some kind of thing?
Well, for a minute there, I didn't have a weapon. My weapon were my feet. And it was like, dude, when y'all gonna give me something? And then before I knew it, I had too many weapons. I had two guns. I had a doggone. I had a rake. I had everything. So, you know, I mean, I just say run.
He's ready. I had fun shooting the 50 cal, and that proved pretty effective in slaying zombies. But that was pretty awesome shooting the 50.
I'm gonna have to go with some kind of. I think Michonne's got it figured out with the katana. Or some kind of reliable blunt instrument. You know, it's great as it is to have a gun. As soon as you run out of ammo, you're screwed, right? So I'm gonna go with melee weapon.
Yeah, but I don't want to be that close to them trying to hit them. They might scratch you or something.
At some point, it's gonna come to that. That's true. My feeling.
Oh, someone's walking.
Oh,
yes, sir.
He's not dead.
Hello. My name's Nick. What was it? If a zombie apocalypse happened right now, do you think you all would be prepared for it right now?
Like in this room?
Like if it just happened
right now.
Like it just happened.
So are you guys military and physically trained and ready to take on the zombie apocalypse?
I'm not military trained by any means, but I think actually like anytime you introduce your mind to a scenario, you already start preparing for it. And just even with us being on the show in the capacity of an actor, I mean, so many of the things that you see going on in the storyline, it kicks your mind into that gear. So I honestly feel like if that were to happen, we would revert back to some of the things we learned on set instantaneously and be okay. Whereas in you guys, all right.
Yeah. Where y'all going?
Oh yeah, where are y'all going?
We see you. Don't come to the table asking questions.
We see you. We saw somebody hold a hand up like they was in church. We see you, man.
Another question.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, what would you each of you find to be the most disturbing death that you've seen on the show as of yet? Or deaths?
Disturbing death.
I would have to say T-Dog, because it was sort of like in slow motion. And then when you see the pictures of his neck was sort of, you know, hanging off or whatnot, and his facial expressions, he did a great job selling that. So I would definitely have to, for me, it'd be T-Dog, because it was hard for, you know, people were hurt about his death. People were actually crying on set because he's such a great guy, such a nice guy. And you never want to see that type of person go, you know, who brings, you know, positive feelings and energy to the set. So I would have to say his scene and him as a person, because so many people were touched by his death.
Most disturbing, look at the flowers.
What's that? Look at the flowers. I would have to say, simply because of, and piggybacking off of what Vincent said earlier, Herschel's presence as that kind of like granddad figure. It would be one thing for him to get, and it's not in Walking Dead style, I guess, but like I said, it'd be one thing for him to get, you know, a bullet to the chest or something, but Herschel's head got chopped off. You know what I mean? I was like, wow, you know what I mean? So that one kind of got me, just because, like you said, he kind of grows on you as that kind of granddad. And to see him go a horrible way, it's like, come on, man, y'all ain't have to do Herschel like that. You know what I mean? But like I said, that's Walking Dead fashion, is that shock factor. And I think it's that shock factor that draws the audience in. You know, if it was a predictable show, then you could expect for Herschel to maybe get shot. But on The Walking Dead, you know, that head coming off. You know what I mean? That's just the way they roll. So, and I can appreciate that, because it's what draws you guys in.
And heads did roll, that's it.
So how many of you guys were fans of the comic books, or read the comic books? Or if you didn't, and after the show, do you read the comic books now? Or how were you in it when you were auditioning or in casting for it? Did you already know about the series? Or
I knew absolutely nothing about the show. And honestly, I didn't watch the first and second season until my fourth episode of the show, and I didn't even know anything about the comic books. I just looked at it like it was another job, so I was just gonna go in there and try to do the best job I could. So I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't watch it before I was on it, and I only seen two episodes since I've been off.
I was a fan of the comic book before the show. And I know it sounds easy to say now, but it is nonetheless true. When I got a couple of issues into the comic book, I thought, somebody has got to turn this into a TV show. This is make a perfect TV show. And so, yeah, when I found out that they were actually turning it into a TV show, first thing I did was I called my agent and I said, you've got to get me on this show. And that took about 2 years until she found the role and sent me the audition. And that's the rest is history, as they say. And I still keep up with both, comic book and the show.
I don't read the comic book. I just like the show to keep me on my toes. And I feel like, from what I heard, is the comic book has similarities to the show, but it's not necessarily word for word. And I think that's good, because it kind of, you know, it doesn't spoil it for the people who are comic book fans and then the people who are fans of the show. Me personally, I like the show. So,
hello, my name's Rebecca. Do you find your experience on the show that when you go around in real life in the normal world, you're thinking, no, this would be a bad place for the zombies to attack? Would you know, where's the exit? What can I use as a weapon? Stuff like that.
I always did that anyway, and I think it was, no, I think, I mean, just with my love of horror films and like action stuff, I mean, for me, it was like, I think it was like Die Hard and John McClane that really started me thinking like, okay, if I'm in this building, it's like, can I get up there somehow, you know? It's like, so yeah, I did that anyway.
That's pretty much a normal thing for me too. Anytime I'm in an unknown place, and you know, it's not just because of the show or anything like that, but anytime I'm somewhere I'm not familiar with, I always try to find an exit route in case something pop off, you know what I mean?
Was there an exit route at Ford's Theater?
There was, the same one that Booth went out of, apparently.
No.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Still has his headphones on, yeah.
No, No, he still got that hat on.
Accessorized.
I've been hearing a lot about this future character that's worse than the governor in the comic books, that they say they might come up after Terminus. If you kept up with the comic books, how can you compare this guy to the governor? Like, how bad is this guy? They say he's like a thousand times.
You're talking about Negan? Yeah, he's pretty bad. He's pretty bad. They really, I honestly, on the TV show, they softened the governor a lot.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they really softened the governor a lot. They spent a lot of time, like, building backstory for him and trying to make him somewhat more relatable and understandable. I don't know if they're going to do the same with Negan on the show.
To answer your question, he's very bad.
Let's all watch as he walks up.
Hi, I'm Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Hi, Corey.
My question is actually for Daniel, since he read the comics.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the differences between Alan's story in the TV show compared to in the comic book?
I liked the way that it went. It was really interesting because as a fan of the comics, when I came on, I had a lot of questions because, you know, when I first saw, of course, they hadn't started airing the third season. So when I met Scott Wilson for the first time, it's like, what happened to your leg? And it's like, oh, so they did the Alan's leg thing with Herschel. Oh, interesting. Oh, wow. So what's going to happen to Alan? So it was at that point that everything kind of went up in the air. And, you know, I mentioned the recent episode with, you know, Look at the Flowers. That was something that I thought coming on when I met my son, my only son, instead of having twin sons. And I thought, oh, well, that makes sense, you know, because they couldn't possibly do the twin storyline on the show. Like, the show's intense, but that would be too intense. But look, I was totally wrong. Like, they followed through with it, and it was really impressive, made for an incredible episode. In terms of the way that everything played out, I've really come to love the different universes that the comic book and the show exist in. And so, yeah, I think I felt good about it. I felt good about it. I think it was right. I think that ultimately the same story was told in different ways. Ultimately, Alan in the comic books and Alan in the show, in spite of his big talk, he was never really going to survive in the apocalypse. He just didn't have the fortitude. He wanted to be that person. He wanted to be strong enough, and he wanted to defend his family, but it ate away at him every step of the way, losing Donna, losing his kid. And when it came down to it, it cost him his life, because even when he had the governor in his sights, he hesitated and he didn't pull the trigger and caught my bullet. So
I was wondering, this is from the perspective of the actor, which one of the characters would you be best friends with?
Axel.
And why?
Because I spend the most time with him. We had chemistry on and off the set, so Axel.
I'd say, go back to season 1 and 2, Shane Walsh, Rick's buddy. I think I would, in a real life scenario, his character and I would get along, because it's just like at the end of the day, when stuff's going bad, it's like he made the tough decisions, and they weren't always the ones that everybody agreed with, but he was thinking about survival and what had to be done, and so I probably would have rolled with that guy. Not to mention, I would have said Martinez, but, you know, he ended up trying to kill that guy, so.
I'd probably end up being close friends with Tyrese. Chad and I got along fantastically working on the show. He's a good friend. That's completely aside from the character, obviously. I just think the character of Tyrese, me personally, I have a lot more in common with him, of his, like, trying to survive, but really trying to hold on to his humanity and his sense of self and his sense of right and what's good. I would be very much drawn to that. That's the kind of friend that I would want to have.
So as, again, as a hardest days on set?
All those days were hot in the summertime. I'm going to tell you, because I was a crew member before I was a cast member, so I'm going to give y'all a little backstory on some of them days on set. Like, literally, that's why I always make a point to mention the crew when I speak of these panels, because I was a crew member before I was a cast member. And all that to say, like, dude, there were times when it was hot, like, hot, hot. We were filming in the woods. You had ticks, mosquitoes, yes, ticks, fleas, all kinds of insects. There's a spider, very deadly spider. What is it? Brown recluse. You know, spiders that will kill you. You know, and the medic is kind of like, okay, guys, if you see this spider, run. You know what I mean? So it's like all of that we worked through in the weather conditions, but the finished product, we were so proud of it, and the responses we get from you guys when the ratings are shattered time and time again is what made us, you know, proud of the work we put into it as cast and crew, you know. But there are some brutal weather conditions as far as extreme heat, you know, muddy, just blah weather, but it all comes out, you know, beautiful. The end product is a great show that draws the audience in, and we couldn't be more happy to have a part in that in any capacity, you know what I mean?
It was, so when you ask about intense days shooting, I think 9 times out of 10, weather is gonna be a factor of some kind. For the most part, they always try to avoid shooting in any kind of extreme weather conditions, always avoiding rain. It just creates so many logistical issues. But one of the more fun, but also one of the more difficult days, and I have fond memories of it precisely because of those difficulties, was the day that we shot the lead-in for the episode that introduced us, 308. And it was the introduction to Tyrese and Alan and Sasha and Ben and Donna.
Just say the episode I died on.
What is that now? That was the one. That was the big going out. It was the mid-season finale, right? But that intro was actually added late in the game. Our original intro was just going to be us running through the tombs, just appearing in the prison. The footage of that still remained, but they decided they wanted a different way to introduce our characters, so it was added after the fact, and because of that reason, because they had to shoehorn it into the production schedule, we had to shoot on a rain day. So it's one of the only scenes that you'll see on the show in which we're actually shooting in the rain. And so fighting off the zombies meant taking swings with bats and hammers and everything else, slipping in the mud and falling down and running through the woods, and that's precisely the kind of thing that I love, so it was great. But in between those takes, it was cold, and we were wet, and all of it takes a long, long time. But that was one of the more difficult days.
Yeah, definitely shooting in the rain is dangerous, and the reason why I'm saying that is the episode where we went to the cabin and basically stole the guy's cabin and killed him when Michonne stabbed him. Then we threw him out to the zombies. Well, that particular day, when it started raining, you know, they shut down everything. And some people were under tents and, you know, came inside the cabin. But it was so bad that the lightning had hit a tree and fell and hit some people. So one of the guys came in, and he's a guy who's always bringing the props. He walks in, face just bloody. And we looking at him like, what are you doing? Not knowing the tree just hit him in the head. Not knowing that somebody had just got electrocuted. So it can definitely be dangerous. That is, the heat and the rain are probably the hardest days. And when it's combined, when it's sunny outside, then it rains for 15 minutes and stop, and then it's hotter than I don't know what outside. So it's definitely, like they said, the rain and the heat.
I'm guessing also at the same time, because the zombies themselves are a lot of them completely covered. How do you think they're going through when they're in this?
Oh, yeah.
It's hot for them too.
And then a lot of times they can't even really see because of the contacts. A lot of times after we cut and going back to the base camp, they have to hold on each other because they can't really see. A lot of people say that they want to be zombies or walkers or whatnot. You're saying that until you get into a fight and we busting you upside the head. right. You know, with some things, you know, you try to make it as real as possible, try to get as close as possible, but sometimes you be so turned up that you just end up, for example, the episode, for the scene when Rick had the gun on me, and I told him I'd never plead for my life, and you know, that stuff. He was so hyped, he kicked me in the stomach. And I just looked like, am I supposed to fall? I'm hurt right now, but what am I supposed to do? But sometimes you be so hyped and you be so much in the moment that you do things that you ain't supposed to do. And after he kicked me, I told him, you ain't supposed to do that. And he apologized. He felt so bad from doing it. But, you know, we just try to make it as realistic for you guys as possible.
So if you guys ever eat with the zombies during, like, catering?
Oh, that's strange.
That's strange.
Sir.
Hey, my name's Ryan.
Hey.
I was wondering, did it ever get normal hanging around Nick Otero's zombie extra creations? Walking around set? Like, was it really awkward for any of you at first?
I mean, it wasn't awkward for me because I got to see all of that stuff being made up. The weird thing he did mention, like, when you're at lunch and you're sitting across the table from a made-up walker and he has to, like, lift his face to put food in, that's pretty weird. And the funny thing is that's your norm on The Walking Dead, you know what I mean? Watching a guy just lift his face and just eat lunch. That happens every day.
Well, for me, it's actually two things. When T-Dog got killed, and that whole day I kept on smelling barbecue, and I'm like, man, why do I keep smelling barbecue? Are we having barbecue today? And everybody's looking like, what are you talking about? And so finally somebody heard me, and they was like, oh, that's T-Dog over there. I'm like, what do you mean it's T-Dog? They said, well, they put the barbecue inside the cavity, the body, so when the zombies are eating, they're really eating barbecue. I said, I no longer want barbecue. So for the to be smelling barbecue all day and see the zombies eating T-Dog, I was like, I don't want any barbecue anymore. Yeah. But I actually thought I was going to have, when I first started working and I finally saw the walkers, I really and truly thought I was going to have nightmares because they look that real. If there's a such thing as a zombie, it'd definitely be coming from our show. So I thought I was going to have nightmares when I first saw them.
And as I said earlier, I'm a little bit of a gore hound, so I had to kind of restrain myself a little bit for others who were a little bit sensitive, you know, because I was the kid that was over there like, oh, Greg, you can see the brains. It's look at the detail, you know, like I wanted to examine it and look at that stuff. And touching on the barbecue thing, it's so funny that they do that because Tyler Chase, who played my son Ben, it was hilarious to hear him tell about doing the scene where Merle is dining on him. And so Rooker is there, you know, and he's Rooker. And, you know, he's really into it and stuff. And Tyler said, yeah, and I was just laying there. And, of course, you know, they just covered me with barbecue, and I smelled delicious. You know, he's like, I can't blame you, Rooker. Like, I would eat me.
Sounds like an awesome segment. It smells like barbecue. Like, who died today?
A lot of political implications because Woodbury and the prison are based on completely different political models. Mm. You know, Woodbury's more of a dictatorship, mm-hmm. right-wing, realist type government, and then the prison is more of a commune, more peaceable, more liberal mm-hmm. form of government. So what political implications did you take away for this show, or what takeaways are there for political leadership?
I didn't take away anything in particular from it, although I did tune into that discussion. There's a great series of articles in The Atlantic, actually, if you haven't seen it already. If you look it up online at The Atlantic Magazine, there's an ongoing discussion through the third season in which they're talking about precisely that. And they really delve into what all that stuff means and you know, the possible political implications of it.
To me, I think once again that, and not necessarily from a political standpoint, but just the way the storyline plays out, it forces the audience to put themselves in a what would I do type scenario. And I think in that moment, it's where the true you would emerge. In other words, am I going to hold true to these laws and values that govern a normal world? Or in the midst of this zombie apocalypse, am I gonna do whatever I need to do to survive? So for me, that's what I got out of it. And I get, you know, the whole dictatorship of Woodbury and the commune of the prison. I think that's just what worked best for each group. You know, people ask all the time about the governor. Why were you with the governor? I'm like, well, look at the governor. You know, that was a very charismatic character. You know, he was good with the crowd. He wooed them. He made them feel safe. And, you know, it was revealed later that he was a psychopath. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that was what was immediately put out in front of him. So in question of, you know, I guess politics today, I guess you can kind of say, you know, you be careful, you know what I mean, of you know, who you choose, in that it could be somebody like the governor, you know what I mean? Or it could be a nice guy like Rick. But I think, like I said, the main thing that's so great about that show is it puts you in the what would I do type scenario. You know?
And pretty much, what's the difference between Rick and the governor? Right. Rick came and took over where we were living.
Right. Right.
You know, so it doesn't make him any better than the governor.
Exactly. The way you look at it.
Because we were there. We were in prison.
Yeah, I wasn't bothering nobody.
I guess
amen to that. Amen to that. I mean, for all the shit that I've gotten about Alan and him coming in and suggesting, mm-hmm. you know, to take down the prison and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. yeah. that's exactly what Rick had done like three episodes prior.
Exactly.
And he felt like he can run the prison for the simple fact he let us out of the cafeteria. Ooh. Eventually, we would have got out. But by him letting us out, he figured out I'm gonna be the president of the prison.
Love the Blood Dragon shirt, by the way, too.
Hey, you mentioned you were on a crew before you on the cast. I was curious, what did you do as a crew member? And did they ever jump back out? We had a grip. We had secret.
Actually, yeah, it's funny you said that, because the guy that he was talking about that the tree fell on is a grip, and I know him and I work with him. So, and I, as far as crew, I held many different positions. Actually, I'll take you back to season one. I was an extra in episode 4. And then from there, season 2, I started off as a PA, said PA, and then I was a part of wardrobe. I was a wardrobe PA. I was craft services. I was props, and I was grips and cast all on the same show. So, yeah, I did a number of behind-the-scenes jobs. Well, I got into acting. I'm a bit of what you would call a rookie to this whole thing. 5 years ago, I was a school teacher and a football coach, and I actually got into acting through what would be considered as a bad situation. I got laid off due to budget cuts. So this is something that I always had a passion for, and I felt I had the capability of doing. It wasn't until I encountered that bad scenario of losing my job that I actually had the opportunity to go forth and pursue this. And lo and behold, I did okay, I think. You know what I mean? So, but the crew work, I grew up on a farm in South Georgia. So, you know, I'm accustomed to work. You know what I mean? And it's not a big deal for me as far as the physicality of it. What I do is I use it to my advantage as a networking tool. I've met a lot of great people on both sides of the camera. And I continue to do crew work as well because I like it. You know, I like being on set, period. And when you're a part of something like a production, be it a cast or a crew member, it's something you take pride in doing. You know what I mean? So I do a little bit of everything.
And one thing I love about his story and respect about it, it goes back to when they say closed mouths don't get fed. He let them know that this ain't the only thing I can do. I have a love and a passion for acting, and the only thing I'm asking is for a chance. That's it. And if he wouldn't have said anything, he probably still just been doing the crew stuff.
That's right, and I'm gonna give you the little rundown of that story. The producer of The Walking Dead, I actually met him 2.5 years prior when I got my first PA job on a movie called The Collection. It was a horror film in which he was a producer of as well, and that was my first day on set as a PA. Didn't have a clue about the job, but piggybacking on, like I said, my upbringing on the farm, I knew how to work. So I didn't just stand around and wait to be told what to do. I jumped in wherever I could. And after a day or two of that, and me being about 280 pounds when I started, pretty much the biggest PA in the area, everybody's like, who's this guy? What is he doing? You know, why is he here? And so Tom Luce, the producer of The Walking Dead, came up to me one day and he said, what do you want to be in this business, Travis? And I said, Tom, I'm going to be an actor. You know, and then I knew who he was at the time. I didn't know, you know, all about his title, but I'm like, should I have said that to that guy? You know, but that was it. It was that quick. He asked and I answered and he was like, okay, and walked off. And I went away thinking about it. Lo and behold, 2.5 years later, I'm propping up Rick on set as a props guy. I'm putting some of his stuff on. Tom walks up and tells me about the character that's about to appear, named Shumpert. Am I interested? And I said, yes. You know, so I'm in shock. I'm trying to play it cool, and I'm going about my business. But I go back up to Tom at the end of the day, and I say, Tom, I just want to thank you for this opportunity. And he says, you remember that conversation we had 2.5 years ago? I said, yeah. He said, don't make me regret it. And that was it. You know, but that goes to show, he watched me work on my own, and then he rewarded me for it. You know, he saw me start as an extra, then go to a PA, then become a union member, all the while knowing that I had aspirations to act, you know. And that day came, and I made the most of it. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, like, just putting out there what you want to do.
Right, yeah, most definitely. And that's what I tell people everywhere, even when I go back to schools and talk to kids. Make your aspirations known, and then put yourself in the lane where you can receive them. You know what I mean? It's one thing to say, I want to do this. But as long as I was a school teacher and not pursuing acting, it never happened. Once I was able to get away from that, out of that zone, into this lane, you know, good things happen.
So speaking of putting things out there, are there any shows or movie-type situations where you'd like to be in the future? Like, what shows do you all watch and enjoy and you maybe consider, like, in your heart, like you, and you want to be like a part of it, you know? Is there anything out there that you want to put out there and just put it out there now?
I mean, I love action. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I mean, this show spoiled me. I mean, think about it. This was my first gig, and I got to shoot machine guns and bow and arrows and kills. I mean, it's a heck of a way to come out of the gate, you know what I mean? But I'm down for whatever. I mean, to be honest, I just want to work, you know?
Yeah, same here. Yeah. For me, being Mary Jane, Scandal, Ray Donovan, House of Lies. I do a lot of theater, so any of the big plays, big movies. And I want to be the voice and face of, like, how Billy Dee Williams was back in the day. Yeah. Or the most interesting man, you know. So
yeah. That's
what I want to do.
I want to work on any kind of project with Ronald D. Moore. I'm a huge fan, BSG fan. So yeah, at some point, got to do that. And I want to be on Downton Abbey. That's what I want to do.
Going back on the last question with the politics about the times, do you think in real life, first, do you think your character and on the show would be would have been able to handle the leadership, like how Rick took over? And in real life, do you think if it came down to
Well, my character is really who I am today. You know, Vincent and Oscar is really no difference besides me not being in jail. I do have family. I have four kids. I don't have a wife. But I know how to play my role. I know how to stay in my lane and do what I'm supposed to do for the team. It's all about being a part of the team. I'm not going to sit there and kiss nobody's butt or be no yes man. But the same position I played when I was part of Team Rick for a couple of seasons, a couple of episodes, it was the same position that I would want to play. I mean, just because you're the head don't mean everything is going to be peaches and cream. Sometimes the head be having more problems than anybody. So I play Scottie Pippen, let somebody else be Jordan.
pretty much for me, I would think Shumpert's character, as far as leadership, he's too quiet for that. You know what I mean? He's silent but deadly type of guy. And as far as in real life, How was the question? How would we act in real life? I think I was an athlete in college. I played football. So I think with those things you learn about team sports, I think I would fit in that scenario in that I could get a couple of beefy guys and like, look, this is what we're going to do. You know what I mean? We would kind of band together and come up with some type of defense measures to keep us safe just because of the you know, the acclimation to team sports and working with groups of people. I think that would help out in that real life scenario.
I think that on the show, the way that things played out there, I think for me, I would have been much more like Alan when he was first introduced and the way that he was thinking and acting at the prison. I mean, he kind of always was questioning leadership, but he did that much less in Woodbury and with the governor. He just decided on who the bad guys were, and so all and any of that energy was directed at the prison and at Rick. Me personally, I would have been had many more questions and been much more challenging about what was happening in Woodbury personally. And ultimately, if it came down to a real zombie apocalypse, yeah, I'd be leading.
So we have time for one more question. Anyone's willing to do the last one? Oh, look at
there she is.
Yeah.
How you doing? Pull that mic down. There you go. You got it.
Okay. If you could be any other character, who would it be and why?
I wouldn't want to be any other character. I think my character as Oscar brought enough to the show. Comedy, when I was with Axel. Loyalty. And from what I hear, some of the ladies say a little sex appeal. So I think my character is all the way around a good guy. And plus, like I said, it's my character was me. So definitely I wouldn't want to be anybody else. Maybe Tyrese.
If I could play another type of character, I'd like to play an athlete, a football player, because I played that in school, and it would be so cool to come back and do a movie doing it, just because like I was a D lineman, right? So, and then once you work on film, get working in television, you get to see that, you know, they use stunt guys and, you know, that's not real. But knowing what I know about football, if I could play a football player, oh my God, that would be so fun. I would wreck some stunt guys, I would say that.
The other character that I would want to play, they just recently introduced, Sergeant Abraham. He was one of my favorite characters from the comic book. So, yeah.
There you go, guys. Can you help me think?
Guys, you are awesome. Thank you so much. We're enjoying your city, having a beautiful time. Thank you.
And follow me on Twitter, Vincent M. Ward. Hit me on Twitter.
And there you have it, guys. Live from AwesomeCon, the Carolyn and Joe Show, from, you know, one of the most exciting panels that they had there. The Carolyn and Joe Show with special Walking Dead guests Travis Love, Vincent Ward, Daniel Thomas May. It was pretty crazy. We got a little morbid there. We started talking about death. We started talking about weapons. You know, I had to throw in that little fun questions in now and then about, like, oh, weapons and, you know, who would you love or who would you be your best friend? And then, of course, we talk about death. We talk about who. Are you ready for death after you've been killed here?
Joe, how often do you think about like apocalypse scenarios or
all
the end of
the world? All the freaking time. That's what I look forward to, is apocalypse and the end of the world. That's on my dream, my list, and you know,
I think
what
like
else can
that's
you do,
part
man?
Of the popularity of that show, though, because
people love that.
I've even talked to people that like they hate gory stuff and like blood and all that. They're like, oh, I can't stand like horror movies and all that gross stuff. But then, like, they are really into Walking Dead because they just love the scenarios of, like, it happening. Yeah. You know? They want to know how to survive the zombie apocalypse.
You know, I was a little nervous at that time because it's a lot of people on stage there. That's me.
It's
you.
A lot.
It's Travis
five
Love,
voices.
Vincent Ward, Daniel Thomas May. It's five people. So, like, maybe there's sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, as long as we all got a chance to speak, it's great. Audience had a great time. Standing ovation. I'd say it's a standing ovation.
Did we? Okay, so we had five people and three mics, though, right?
Yeah, that was always a huge challenge, just sharing the mics. You know what I mean? And also, one thing that people fail to realize is that Carolyn had a chair, Daniel Thomas May had a chair. Vincent Ward had a chair. Travis Love had a chair. I had the stand the whole time.
At the podium.
At the podium the whole entire time. You know, and that's not really, it's like it's a weird position to be in. But, you know, you make the most fun of it, you know. And I think we all had a blast. And I'd like to say a massive thank you for AwesomeCon and also Ben Penrod and, you know, everyone that put on that, the greatest comic book pop culture show that Washington, D.C. has ever had. A massive thank you to everyone, you know. Awesome. Greatness. Did you have a good time on the panel?
Yeah, it was very exciting. And I loved all the questions from the audience as well. Really hardcore fans of Walking Dead. I wonder why it's like one of the top TV shows.
I love getting questions from the audience. It's always, I mean, who knows what they're gonna say? You know what I mean? That's a live hot mic. That's right. It's a game changer. It's a ball breaker. It could be any one of those things. So thanks everyone for listening. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. You can check them out at strayproductions.com. Not only that, but you can check out my own work at joecarbeo.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. You can check out the new up-to-date work. Also, one-shots.com. Also, Karen Bileski sitting across from me right now. The greatest cartoonist ever. curls-studio.com/curls. Check out her comic strip. Also, a drawing every night, possibly, at curls-studio.com/sketchbeforesleep. That's right. That's right. And next week, we're going to keep on giving you the hits because we had so much to do at AwesomeCon this year that we're going to release another panel. And all these panels are amazing. This one might be the wildest one, but next week, we'll surprise you. We're going to give you another exclusive. Don't forget to check us out at thecarolynandjoeshow.com, iTunes, Stitcher, I don't know, WordPress, wherever you want to find us. Google us. We're there. we're absolutely
we're here.
There. Yeah, we're here.
We're there. Here. We're everywhere.
How did you have? Did you have
now,
a good...
then, forever.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I have no idea.
You're forming a question.
I was forming some sort of comment.
Did you?
It's getting hot outside, guys. It's getting sweaty. But thanks you for listening. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Keep it real, everyone. Be excellent to each other.
Adios.
See you next week.